Book of Galatians, chapter number 3. Galatians, chapter number 3. And we're going to read in at verse number 10. Galatians chapter 3 and verse number 10. For as many as are under the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live by faith, and the law is not of faith. But the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Now there are only two ways of salvation, the right way and the wrong way. And the right way is man's way. And it really doesn't matter what approach man makes toward saving himself. It's always by works of something that he does. And of course, salvation is God's way of salvation, is a work that is already finished. There's a story told of an Indian doctor. He's known as the Good Black Doctor. J.M. Davies, but not the J.M. Davies that you might know. And this man used to come to England once a year, and he used to ride on one of the old English trains that I used to ride on about 60 years ago. And he met a couple of Church of England ladies in a little cubicle that they were sitting in, and they looked at him and thought he was a Hindu and didn't know anything about Christianity. So they proceeded to talk to him about Christianity. And he asked them, what do you have to do in your religion to get to heaven? And of course they started saying, you have to keep the law, you have to go to church, you have to pay into the church, you have to be baptized, you have to do this, that, and something else. And they asked him, and what do you think you have to do to get to heaven in your religion? He says, there's only two little letters different between your religion and mine. The little letters N-E. Your religion is D-O. Do something. Mine is D-O-N-E. And he went on to tell them that when Christ cried on the cross, it is finished, that he was resting in a finished work. Now, I don't know some of you people here this morning. You likely all profess to be a Christian. That doesn't mean you might be a Christian. But I'm just wondering, what are you actually trusting in to be saved? Are you trusting in something you're doing? Something you are? Or something that has already been done on the cross? Faith isn't any more than resting in the finished work of Christ. Now there's a many people that believe that keeping the Ten Commandments, or trying to keep the Ten Commandments, you might be saved. I remember a young fellow and I were visiting out on the street one time, giving out tracts, and we went in a shopping mall, and the young fellow that was with me met a man with his collar on backwards, and he stopped and he said, sir, can you tell me the way to heaven? And the man said, keep the law, and kept on going. That's man's way. Keep the law, but you can't be saved that way. I have read you about a curse that's associated with the law. That curse, of course, goes back to the Garden of Eden. The earth is under curse because of Adam's sin in Genesis chapter 3. Adam violated a law, a very simple. Adam violated a law, a very simple law. God gave him a law, says, of every tree of the garden thou mayest eat freely, but of a certain tree you're not to eat. He ate of that tree. He broke the law that God gave him. It brought a curse, not only on Adam, but it also brought a curse on Satan, the serpent. It also brought a curse on the earth. And he said, cursed is the ground for thy sake. Now all of the troubles in the world have one root. Talking to a young man just recently visiting him. He had a brother, the only two boys in that family. His brother, maybe 10 years ago, I visited him. I think he was 29 years old. He was an alcoholic. And I told him that his problem was not alcohol. It was deeper than that. The root problem of all the troubles in all the world is the little three-letter word, S-I-N. It's sin that brought a curse into the world. A curse on the earth, a curse on man on the earth, and we're under the curse of a man's sin. So the root problem of all the trouble in all the world is sin. The root problem in your life, if you're not a Christian, or even if you are a Christian, is the same little three-letter word. You get your sin problem solved in the sight of God, and things will look different to you. Things will come across differently to you. It will change your life. Sin brings a curse. Sin not only brought a curse, but you remember Adam started to run away from God after he sinned. He heard God coming in the garden, and he ran and he hid himself among the trees of the garden. That's why nobody in this area, the general public, are not seeking God. They're running away from God. God is seeking the sinner, but the sinner is not seeking God. Because of the curse of sin in the human race puts a fear in man because he's guilty and he's on the run, as it were, the same as a criminal would be if he had broken the law of our land. He's going to run away from every policeman that he sees. Sin brings a terrible curse on the earth. Now, there's a lot of people tell us that all the hell you'll ever see is on this earth. And what they're talking about is the curse of sin on the human race. A lady wrote me the other day. She said she was a Christian. I have no idea who she is. And she said about a young mother that she said was a Christian with three small children that was diagnosed with cancer, terminal cancer, and was dying. And she said, I have a hard job to see that, how that can happen to a Christian woman. Well, it's very simple. We are not immune to the curse when you become a Christian. You're under an earth that's plagued with diseases and curses of all kinds. And we're susceptible to get them as well as anybody else. Jesus said, in the world ye might have tribulations. No, he said, in the world ye shall have tribulations. John 16 and verse 33, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Sin has brought a terrible curse on the earth. Now I read about three things, or three people, here in connection with this curse. I read about somebody that was under the curse in verse 10. Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things as they're written in the law to do them. That's the curse. Somebody's under a curse. I read in verse 13 about somebody that was made a curse. And I also read in the same verse somebody that was made free from the curse. So we've got three things here in connection with the curse of sin. We got the curse of people that are under that curse. We've got another one who was made a curse. And we've got others that are free from the curse of a broken law. Now, in the first case, we've got a sinner that's under the curse, verse 10. If you're here today and you've never been redeemed from the curse of the law, you're under the curse of sin. There's a judgment day coming. God's going to call you into court someday. You're not going to be tried as to whether you were all right or all right in the sight of God, whether you lived all right or so on. You're going to be judged according to what you've done, and you're going to be cast into the lake of fire where the devil and his angels, that was prepared for the devil and his angels. That's if you're here and you're still under the curse. Under the curse is the sinner. The one who was made the curse was the Savior. The one that is free from the curse is the saint, or the child of God. And every child of God is a saint. They're a separated one by virtue of the redemption that there is in Christ. So we want to look a little bit at those three people. The sinner, under the curse of sin. Now the law, I was in a home the other day, a Christian home, and I said to the couple, we need more preaching on the law. And immediately the sister reminded me, she says, we're not under the law. I said, no, that might be true, but the sinner is under the law. They're still under the law. And it's the lack of preaching on sin is the reason why there's so many empty professions in America today. You don't hear anything about sin. You don't hear anything about repentance. I was in assembly some years back, and I spoke a message on repentance, and a sister came to me and said, I've been here for 8 years, and I've never heard a message on repentance yet. You hear people talk about believing in Christ, but you never hear people say about why they should believe in Christ, or how they should believe in Christ. Telling them that they must repent of their sins because they're under a terrible curse of a broken law. You take the Ten Commandments and go down through the Ten Commandments. And when you're through reading the Ten Commandments and listening to what God says, you won't come to a conclusion that you're all right with God, because you're all wrong with God according to the Ten Commandments. I remember a man who's long gone who told me he thought he had a good chance to get to heaven. He was a family man, looked after his family well, and maybe a good moral living man, I don't know. And I went through the Ten Commandments with him. And when I got through, he said, well, I've broken 8 of them. He'd only broken 8 of the Ten Commandments, and he thought he had a pretty good chance to get to heaven. I reminded him, if he had broken 80% of the laws of our land, I'm quite sure his wife would never see him out again. He'd be in prison for the rest of his life. And yet he thought that a holy God was going to overlook 80% of a broken law. Have you ever measured yourself by the law of God? Have you ever looked in that perfect mirror, those Ten Commandments? Have you ever worshipped anything or made any image of God? Have you loved the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind? Have you loved your neighbor as yourself? Have you ever taken his name in vain? And that doesn't mean profanity alone. Any usage of the name of the Lord without any purpose to it is taking the Lord's name in vain. Have you ever lied? Have you ever coveted? Have you ever committed adultery or immorality? Those things are sins in the sight of a holy God. That reminds you and shows you that you're under the curse of a broken law. Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things as are written in the book of the law to do them. We're never told to repent of the fact that we're a sinner. Nowhere in the Bible you read that. We're to repent of our sins. Not what we are, what we've done. We can't help what we are. We're born that way. And nobody's ever going to die and go to hell because they're sinners. They're going to hell because they've sinned against God, and they need to repent of those sins, and they need to turn to God because they're under the curse of a broken law. Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things as they're written in the book of the law to do it, to obey it. Cursed under the curse of the law. That law hangs over your head this morning. If you're here, you're not saved. That hangs over your head like a heavy cloud. And one day, God's going to call, when you leave this scene and go out through a door called death, the Bible says it's appointed unto you once to die, and after that, the judgment. And you're going out under the curse of a broken law. And when you do, that cloud is going to break on you, and the judgment of God is going to fall upon you. And you're going to hear those fateful words, "Depart from me, cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." That's sad. Have you ever seen yourself like God's seen you? I remember an Irish brother one time speaking many years ago. He said he went into a park in Ireland and there was a couple of girls there that evidently on vacation. They wanted to take a picture of themselves. And of course they never had these newfangled cameras that you could set up on a tripod and set them and get out in front of them and it automatically shoots your picture. So they saw him, he was well dressed and though a stranger, and they thought maybe we'll ask that gentleman if he'd take a picture of us. So they went over and he said, "Sure, I'll take two. I'll take one with your camera and I'll take one with mine." So they got all set and he took their picture, gave them back. Then he hauled a little testament of his pocket and he started reading in the book of Romans chapter 3. And he said in verse 10, "We're all under sin, whether we're Jew or Gentile. There is none righteous, no, not one. There's none that doeth good. There's none that seeketh after God. They've all gone out of the way." And he says, "Girls, this is what you look like in the sight of God if you're not a Christian." Have you ever read those verses and looked at yourself in God's mirror? It isn't what you think of yourself that's going to make you acceptable to God. It's not what others think of you. It's what God sees in you. And what does He see in you this morning? Does He see you like you are in Romans 3 and like you are in this verse here, under the curse of sin, the awful curse of sin? Terrible thought. Terrible thought. Have you ever repented of not the fact that you're a sinner, but your sins? Not what you are, what you have done. The Bible tells us to repent of our sins. It's not enough to say I'm a sinner and I need to be saved. You've got to say like the prodigal son, "I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight." It's the matter of your sins, what you have done, that you need to be saved from. Actually, as a sinner, the sin offering takes care of the fact that you were born a sinner. It's the trespass offering that you need. The trespass offering has to do with what you have done. The sin offering has to do with what you are. That the sacrifice of Christ has already covered our as the sin offering when we're born. But the trespass offering, you need to repent of what you have done. Have you ever repented? You know, the gospel, there are aspects to the gospel. The Bible says, Paul says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and was buried and rose again the third day according to the Scripture." 1 Corinthians 15 and verses 3 and 4. That's the gospel, the good news. That's the letter of the gospel. That's the plan of the gospel. That's not how to get in on the gospel. That verse doesn't tell you how to get in on that. That's the plan. Then there's the light of the gospel. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 3, Paul says, "If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the gospel should shine unto them and they should be saved." The light of the gospel is how to get in on the gospel. The plan is Christ has died for our sins, that was buried and rose again the third day according to Scripture. But how do I get in on that? Do I try to keep the law? Do I get baptized? Do I go to church? Do I try to live a better life? No, that's not the light of the gospel. The light of the gospel is I must repent of my sins and I must rest, trust in what Christ has done for me. That's all. Anything more than that is too much. Anything less is not enough. It must be just that and that only. It's not enough to believe in the Christ that he died. That's believing in the letter of the gospel. But the letter of the gospel is I'm going to have to repent of my sins and trust Christ as my Savior in order to be saved. That will get you the life of the gospel. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that finds that rest in the gospel that he's provided for us at the cross, he that has that rest sees the light and resting in that. That's the life of the gospel. And that's what a poor sinner needs. So we've got a sinner that's under the curse. Under the curse. Condemned, you might say, already. That's what John chapter 3 and verse 18 says. He that believeth on the Son, he that trusts in the Son, hath everlasting life. He that does not trust in the Son, he's condemned already. Already under the condemnation. John 3:36 says this. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth. And that word abideth means it continually abides on you. And if you're here this morning and you're not saved, you're under the curse. You're under the wrath of God. You're under the condemnation of sin. That's where you are. And that's where you've got to find out where you are before you can find out where you're going. If you never find out where you are in the sight of God, you'll never find out the way to heaven. You've got to find out you're away from God. You're separated from God. The very first question God asked a sinner in the Bible is in Genesis 3, verse 9. Where art thou? Where art thou? And many people never get saved because they don't know where they are. They might think they're saved. They might say they're saved. About everybody will say they're saved, but they'll never know for sure that they're saved until they first find out where they are in order to find out where they're going to go. So the sinner is under the curse. Then we read in chapter 3 and verse 13 that Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. He was made a curse for us. The Lord Jesus was made a curse for us. Here's somebody who was under the curse. Here was somebody that left the glories of heaven to come down to this wicked world to be put under the curse of the very sin and the very curse that we were under. There's many things that it says the Lord Jesus was made. We can read in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, 5 rather, in verse 21, that he knew no sin, but God made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. That was something he was made. That was something passively he was made sin for us. God made him to be sin for us. It pleased God to bruise him when he made his soul an offering for our sins. We can read that he was made of a woman. We can read in John chapter 1 and verse 14 how that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. There's only one thing we ever read that the Lord made himself. And that's in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 7. It says he made himself of no reputation. He was in the very form of God. Thought it was not something to hold on to. But he left that position of being in the form of God, and he made himself of no reputation and took upon himself the form of a servant and eventually came to earth. And eventually as a man humbled himself further and become obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He made himself of no reputation. God made him to be sin for us. God made him to be a curse for us here. God put him under a curse. All because of his willingness to make himself of no reputation, come down to this wicked world to save poor lost sinners. He was made a curse for us. That work that he accomplished at the cross will stand forever. It will stand for eternity. And when you come to rest, come as one who is under the curse, and you come to the one who was made a curse for you, and you put your trust completely, 100%, in the Lord Jesus that took your guilty place and died on your behalf, and you rest completely in the one who was made a curse for you, that's how you become saved. That's how you get to Christ. Let me ask you, have you done that? Is there ever a time in your life, in the past, when you ever saw yourself in some sense, in some light, as a sinner in the sight of God, unfit for His presence, unfit for heaven, unfit to share the glories that there is for the saint forever and forever? That's the place you should get to in some measure. You haven't got to feel the fire, as it were, burning on your feet or something like that. But you've got to get into the reality that I'm a sinner. I'm under the condemnation. I'm on death row. If I die the way I am, I'm doomed for eternity. But I'm going to trust in the one who was made a curse for me on the cross of Calvary. I'm going to put my trust 100% in Him and what He's done for me. So many people that have empty professions, and I'm not trying to make you doubt your salvation. If you're on the rock, I can't jar you off that rock. But if you're on another foundation, I would like to jar you off of that completely, so you'll get on the right one. There's only one foundation for salvation, and it's the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's your resting completely on what He is and what He has done for you on the cross of Calvary, because you're the sinner under the curse. He's the Savior that was made a curse for us. The very sins that we committed were all heaped upon Him, laid upon Him, that we might be saved. Now I read about, in the same verse, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. That word redeemed is a lovely word. It means to buy out of. It has to do with a slave who has been sold on the slave market many years ago, when they sold and bought slaves. And some rich person would go and buy a slave off of the slave market, pay the price and buy a slave off the slave market. That's what that word redeem means. It means to buy out of the slave market. And every sinner is a slave to sin in some form or another. It might not be immorality. It might not be lying. But it might be pride. It might be envy. It might be covetousness. It might be some other type of a sin. But every sinner is a slave in one form or another to sin. And they need redemption. They need to be bought out from under that. We're not able to pay that price ourselves, but the Lord Jesus has redeemed us from the curse of the law. He has bought us out from under that. Now, in this wonderful buying out from under the curse of the law, there are three wonderful truths about salvation. There's the past truth, if you trusted Christ, that you've been saved from the penalty of sin. Now, the penalty of sin is eternal damnation. It's future. Every sinner has broken the law, and they're headed toward a judgment day when the judgment is going to be set, and every sinner is going out to suffer the penalty for what they've done. They will all suffer alike. Every man will be judged according to their sins, and every person will be judged according to what they've done. But they're going to pay, as it were, or suffer the penalty of their sins. Now when you're saved from the curse of the law, then you're saved from the penalty of sin. I was saved from the penalty of sin almost 55 years ago as a poor sinner, lost, realizing Christ died for my sins and put my trust in Him. I'm saved from the penalty of sin, from eternal damnation, from everlasting punishment. I'm saved from that forever and forever. That's all part of being freed from the curse of the law. Secondly, we are being saved from the power of sin every day. We need that every day. A Christian needs that every day. There are two great truths to the gospel. There's forgiveness for what we've done, and there's deliverance from what we're doing. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 4 makes it very clear that Christ gave Himself for our sins that He might deliver us from this present evil world. Now that's not being saved from hell. That's not the forgiveness of sins that's in view. That has to do with the penalty of sin. When you trust Christ, you're saved from the penalty of sin, you're forgiven, and you'll never suffer the penalty of sin. But the power of sin from day to day is what you need to be saved from. And I've learned a little bit over the years that most people that aren't saved, and yet they think they know how to be saved, they say, I don't believe I could be saved because I couldn't live that kind of a life. Well, you can't. You can't live a Christian life until you get it. You got to get it first. You couldn't even live a human life until you get it. You had to be born in order to be here today. Had you never been born, you'd have never been alive. You'd have never lived a human life. And you'd never live a Christian life until you're born again. You have to be born again. You have to trust Christ as your Savior. You get this life, and it lives in you. So that's the present aspect of salvation. Saved from the power of sin. I'm not saved from the power of sin tomorrow, because tomorrow hasn't come. But God has made a provision for me in the gospel. Not only to put away my sins and the penalty of my sins forever, forever, but He's made a provision for us in the gospel to be saved from this present evil world in which we live. And we need that. We need that salvation. Saved from this present evil world. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Then there's the future. The future aspect of salvation is salvation from the presence of sin. There's coming a time when the Lord Jesus is coming back. And we can read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 10 about those Christians that Thessalonica, who are waiting for God's Son to come back from heaven, who had delivered them from the wrath to come. There's a terrible, terrible time of judgment coming on this earth. God is going to come on the scene soon in a mighty way, and there's going to be a time of tribulation on this earth such as never was from the beginning of the world, according to Jesus in Matthew 24 and 21. The Christian is saved from that. The Lord is coming. The rapture is going to take place. And when the rapture takes place, we're not going to be needed. He won't need to save us anymore from the power of sin, because we're going to be in a place and a condition where we never sin. We're going to be likened unto Him. Our bodies are going to be fashioned likened unto His glorious body, and we're going to be conformed to the moral image of the Lord Jesus Christ. We were hearing our brother reading in 1 John chapter 3 this morning. And it says, it does not yet appear what we shall be, but when He comes, we shall see Him as He is. That would be wonderful. Something more wonderful than that, in that verse. It says, we shall be like Him. Like Him. I can't imagine this old, wretched, sinful person that I am yet. I can't imagine being like the Lord Jesus. One in whom there was no sin. One who was incapable of sinning. One who was absolutely impeccable. He knew no sin. He did no sin. And we're going to be just like Him. That's a future aspect. Let me ask you, you've been delivered from the curse of the law yet? Are you sure that you're delivered from the curse of the law? It's not enough to think you are. It's not enough to believe you are. Do you know that you are? Only if you've come as a repenting sinner and rested, trusted, not just give a mental assent or a verbal assent to the gospel. That's the letter of the gospel. I have visited enough homes to know that people that you give them the gospel and almost without exception, oh yes, I believe Christ died for sins and was buried and rose again the third day. But then they'll go on and tell you, yeah, but you've got to be baptized to get to heaven, and you've got to live a good life. They don't know the light of the gospel. I hope you're not one of them this morning. I hope you know and see the light of the gospel. That the only way I can get the benefits of what Christ has done for me is to come to the foot of the cross where he suffered the curse for my sins and look up into His face and with all my heart trust Him as my Savior from sin. When you do that, that's the light of the gospel. That's how I get in on the gospel. When you do that, you'll get the life of the gospel. That's when you'll be born again. That's when you'll know for sure that you're on the way to heaven. I remember in a garage here a while ago with getting some work done on my car, and a man in the counter ahead of me, he said something like this. He said, "How are you today? I never met the man before." And I said, "Well, when you're saved and on the way to heaven, you're good every day." And he looked at me, but he said, "You're not there yet." And I said, "No, I'm not there, but I'm just as sure that I'm there now that I'll be there. I'm just as sure as if I was already there. That's how sure I am." He looked at me, and the guys behind the counter looked at me, and they wondered, "I don't know anything about that." And I bet there's not a one of them that would say, I hope I get to heaven. They will say that. I think I'm going there. I just hope I'll make it, but I'm not sure. I hope you're not one of those people this morning. I hope you can say with all my heart, "I know in whom I have believed and have committed unto Him my soul salvation against that day to come." If you have never yet trusted Him as your Savior, and God is speaking to your heart this morning, I hope you'll trust Him. And if I can help you further, or anybody can help you, feel most free to speak to us. We're not putting any pressure on people about this matter, but we'd like for you to know for sure that you have the life of the gospel and the light of the gospel and not just the letter of the gospel. Shall we pray? Our Father, we are amazed at Thy grace and goodness and mercies to us in ever sending the darling of Thy bosom down into this wicked world to bear that awful curse of sin that we would have had to bear forever and forever. We ever thank Thee for Him. We thank Thee for the good attention of the audience here this morning. And we pray, Father, for any that Thou art speaking to this morning that might be in our company, that have never yet come to see the Lord Jesus as the one who bear their curse, and that they are under the curse that he bear, that they might be saved. So we ask Thee to speak afresh to them and help them to grasp the simple truth of Thy salvation and enter into it, and know the joy of being saved and knowing it. So we ask Thy blessing upon them in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.